Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, episode 65, and I'm joined by Keishi.
Hey Yuri, how are you today?
I'm doing okay, how about you?
I'm doing good, had a long weekend, or even longer than that, vacation, and finally back to work today.
You excited, pumped to be back at work? New ideas?
Yeah, it's nice to be back behind the desk, and the vacation was even nicer, I guess, but...
Away from the green scenery and the trees and the fresh air, it's nice.
Yeah, it was great. We went to Hakuba, which is, I think, the 1998 Nagano Olympics, Winter Olympics. Some of the ski events were held there, so we did some hiking and just chilling, and yeah, it was nice, relaxing.
Nice. So I expect you have some nice Hakuba drinks lined up for this podcast then.
How do you know?
I don't know. It's just I have a, what is it, clairvoyance, psychic powers?
Yeah, I've got three different drinks, so I'm set for the next 3 weeks in terms of our drinks of the week. Today I'm starting with Tsugaike original cider, which seems to be a cider that is made using water from snow that melted on top of Tsugaike, which is one of the peaks in Hakuba, I think. It's actually one of the three that we visited.
So it's made from snow, essentially. You're drinking snow.
Not drinking yet, but yeah, I think it's snow, a bunch of sugar, some carbonation, and a nice bottle, as people can see in the show notes.
What does it taste like?
Let me open it. It's in one of those glass bottles, and the cap is really slippery. Oh, got it. Oh, it tastes really good. Tastes like ramune. So it tastes like many of the other ciders that I had, but this is going to sound like I'm just making this stuff up, but it kind of tastes cleaner. And I think it's because of the water, but it might just be placebo.
Maybe it's the snow. So long as it's not yellow snow. Speaking of which,
it's crystal clear.
You should do I'm pretty sure yellow snow would fit as an article, you know, as a topic for one of your websites.
Yeah, maybe it would. I should consider that. Anyways, what are you drinking today?
On my end, I have something called Byerly's Orange Classic. Byerly's Orange Classic. It's a drink. Well, apparently this is the 70th anniversary limited edition drink. So apparently it should be quite special.
Yeah, I think I saw that. I've had the juice a number of times. The one that they're promoting on the cover of yours.
Okay.
It was pretty good. It was a bit watery, I think, but not in a bad sense. It just wasn't too sweet, which is good, I guess. How's yours?
You're right. It's not too sweet, but it's carbonated. I think it works. Well, I don't like. I assume we all want juice to be sweet, but I think our carbonated drink that's too sweet would be overkill. So I think this is a very good pairing.
Nice. So is it like an 8 out of 10?
Probably give it like an 8.9, 9 out of 10.
Wow, ratings are getting more and more granular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, someone might argue that this is nothing special, and I could see their point, and I wouldn't argue with them. But maybe I'm getting old, and I'm just starting to appreciate the taste of subtlety a little more and more.
Yeah, I think so. I think same with me. I've been enjoying more and more drinks that are not necessarily too sweet or that don't have necessarily like super strong taste.
You should get into wine.
Don't drink alcohol.
Well, you can take the alcohol-free version of I assume they have this in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually. I think a couple years back, maybe, we went to one of the Disneyland Hotel restaurants for, at the time, my girlfriend, now my wife's birthday, I believe.
Okay.
And because I don't drink, like, you could choose either champagne or, like, fake champagne. And, like, the last time I saw fake champagne was when I was a kid. Like, in Slovakia, they used to have these... It's not even champagne. It's just a juice in champagne-shaped bottle with like a really colorful design on it. I don't know if you have it in the States.
I don't think. Maybe we do. I just never seen fake champagne. People usually opt for real alcohol.
Yeah. And anyways, it's like a... Like you look at it and you know it's for kids. Like it's really fancy, like colorful cartoon designs. So I was kind of expecting that when we chose the non-alcoholic champagne or the fake champagne. But actually, it turns out it came like in a really nice bottle, like a champagne would. I'm not sure if the grapes were actually from champagne, but it tasted really good. And then I looked it up later on the internet. And I think it was like $30 per bottle or something.
Oh, wow.
So it was legit non-alcoholic champagne. And not just the juice, with some colorful color, which surprised me and tastes really good.
So just FYI, non-alcoholic wine does exist, according to a Google search. So if non-alcoholic champagne worked for you, maybe wine will as well. Wine has a bit of a like a bitter grape taste going on there.
Yeah.
Which isn't too bad, especially I guess people prefer to pair it with food. There's white wine and red wine. One of them goes with like heavy meats. The other one goes with fish and lighter meats and whatnot. I think that's the white wine. But taste wise, you know, it's an interesting taste. I wouldn't go as far as to, you know, become a sommelier and identify which region of Europe and what time of year and what kind of soil, and if they put a little chestnut in there, I wouldn't be able to detect it as much. But like, I think wine tastes quite interesting as opposed to other alcohols, which mostly tastes like rubbing alcohol. Cool. But so now that we got the drinks covered, today we're talking about mindset.
All right. Mindset. So what is mindset? I think it's a very generic term that I hear a lot of people throwing around. But what is it?
I guess, yeah, it's a very big word. And, you know, to someone, everyone might have slightly nuanced different definitions of it. Like a quick definition is like the established set of attitudes held by someone, the mindset that you have towards side hustle. But, it, you know, it could also mean like what kind of frame of thinking should you have while doing a side hustle, for example. You can have a good mindset. You can have a bad mindset. You can have a mindset that's helpful for things. You can have a mindset that's not helpful for things, you know.
Or you can have a winner mindset.
Yeah, or a loser mindset, or somewhere in between. But the point is that, like, it's just, I guess, the kind of mental processes that you go through in order to maintain whatever that you're doing, especially in the case of side hustles. For some people, it's, you know, posting Instagram quotes on their Instagram that are not theirs, which I don't believe in. I think it's a load of bull, because it's not your quote. It's not going to help you. And it's like eating potato chips. You feel good for a second, then you feel you get nothing at the end. But I think there are ways to maintain your own mindset, which is why in this episode, we're not going to tell you the ways on how to maintain your mind, because we're not you and you're not us. But what we will try to share is how we maintain our own mindsets, so that, you know, we can stick with our goals and maintain these websites and just do the side hustle stuff. What do you think, Keishi?
Yeah, I think, again, like you said, it's a big word, and I think it's easy to kind of dismiss it as this thing that people talk about, but that's not really important. I agree with you on the quotes part, where like probably posting a quote on Instagram won't change your mindset. But at the same time, I would say that it definitely could be part of changing your mindset. But again, it kind of depends on how deep you go and how serious you are about it. And like, again, yeah, a quote won't change it, but a book can change it, or a certain habit can change it, I think. And I think that's kind of what we'll be talking about today, at least about what works for you, what works for me. And then perhaps those listening to us can try their own things. And probably everybody already has some things that affect their mindset in one way or another. So
I think so.
It is a good time to reflect on those, I think.
It could be even a physical practice that helps you maintain the mental side of things, because, you know, you can't really divide or subtract the body from the mind. It's all like one part of a whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the kind of interesting thing is that wherever you are, or whatever you do, or whatever point in your life you're at, and so on, I think Ramit Sethi talks about this, but our mind is already kind of formed in one way or another based on the things we've been hearing from parents, from friends, things you've been reading about, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of easy to just go by and not even think about what these, I think he calls them, what does he call them? Hidden stories, secret stories, or
invisible scripts.
Like, invisible scripts, yeah. And I think if you kind of don't stop and think about them, you don't even realize that you have all these kind of invisible scripts, or these kind of preconceived notions of how things should be, or how you should be doing things in your mind without even realizing they are there.
Yeah.
So I think more than anything, even though we'll share our things on how to kind of change your mindset or maintain your mindset, I guess the most important thing is for whoever is listening to this to kind of stop and think about their own mindset, about their own invisible stories, about their own kind of preconceived notions of how they're doing things, and reflect on those and see if they can be changed or improved.
Yeah. So what do you got as your first one?
Yeah, so my first one is... again, if we're talking about trying to do something, whether it's a side hustle or whether it's improving your personal finances or whatever it might be, I think the best way to get started is immersing yourself in the topic, which is what tends to work for me most often.
Okay.
And again, we're not talking about like posting a quote on Instagram here or something, which is a nice little cute thing to do. But as you said, I don't think it will make many big changes to your mindset or any big impact. But just to give you an example, like when I started blogging, for example, for months and months, I would just read every single article, watch every single video, listen to every single podcast on the topic. And like the more you listen to the things, you realize it's kind of the same thing over and over again, oftentimes. But repetition is oftentimes key to success, right? And it's also the way you kind of internalize things.
Yeah.
Like I was just reading a book about Kim Jong-un and North Korea. And it's like, if you think about the power that North Korea has, it's, of course, it's the nuclear weapons and all that sort of thing. But it's also the fact that they have like total control over the, or they would like to have total control of the education of the population. And like when you grow up hearing just one thing, it's pretty easy to start believing that one thing, right?
Yeah, and I think propaganda.
Exactly. And I think it's that's kind of bad use of this thing. But I think on the positive side is if you want to get started with YouTube channel or if you want to get started with a blog or something, I think the easiest thing is to just immerse yourself in the topic and listen to people talk about it. Read articles about it and so on. Now, I think in my case, I'm lucky that I didn't get to the point where I just listened to it and don't actually implement it, because without it, you're just an armchair blogger or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably one thing that one has to be careful about. But in either case, I think just essentially hitting yourself with propaganda about whatever the topic is that you want to get into is probably a good start.
Okay. So videos, blog articles, podcasts, you would read all on like, you read these based on the topics that you want to get into, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's the same about personal finance. Like you watch some personal finance videos, it's 50% of it is about compound interest and investing regularly and starting a 401k in the US and so on. And like you hear it 10 times, then you're like, oh, maybe I should actually start this.
Yeah.
And I think that, I guess the repetition is kind of key to it, right? Because the difference between the Instagram quote and just reading and reading and reading about the same thing over and over and over again is, it's not about the content, because you could probably post a motivational quote that says, hey, invest $1,000 or whatever every month. But it's kind of in the intensity of it that makes the difference.
A book has a stronger chance of searing it into your brain by the time you're done through like the 200 or 300 pages of that book. Whereas, you know, you're scrolling through Instagram, you see inspirational quotes as work harder, not smarter, blah, 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 whatever it is. And you'd be like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Like, then you move on to the next video or the image.
Yeah. And I guess books are probably good for like kind of high level things where it's like kind of persisting with a thing and like working hard and seeing kind of what you can build over the long term. But somehow personally, I find podcasts and blog articles and YouTube videos to be the sweet spot where it's not as shallow and short as an Instagram quote or as a Twitter post, but it's also not as long and kind of as dreadful to get through as a 300 or 400 page book.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the kind of the fact that it's deep enough to kind of give you good knowledge, but also that it's short enough that you can kind of read over and over and over again about the same thing, I feel like that kind of makes it the right thing for me, at least. Okay. In terms of getting started with things and learning quickly about things and not becoming a PhD at a topic or something, but like learning to an extent where I feel comfortable starting something or doing something and taking action.
Oh, that sounds good.
All right. So how about you? What's your trick in terms of mindset?
I guess the first and most important thing that I have for maintaining like a doer's mindset or a mindset on like keeping going with my side hustle is having quiet time at a cafe, meaning I'm not sitting in front of a computer. And even though if I have my, you know, I could put my phone away, I'm not that addicted to my phone, but I can't sit in front of a computer. So yeah, I'll set aside quiet time, usually on the weekends, where it's just me and a notebook, and I'll write stuff out, like, you know, potential topics that I want to explore, ideas, projects, and just like, I don't know, give that a good 5 or 10 minutes. And in those 5 or 10 minutes, maybe it's not a lot, maybe it's 20 minutes, whatever. It's not a lot, but it's just really focused time. And, you know, it ends up sitting in my brain. And like, so when I'm back at my computer, back on like working on my side hustle, it's like, all right, what do I do now? I have a nice list of things to do. So I think it kind of enhances my focus and keeps me going. And I guess it's distraction free, but I think that really helps just keep my mind on track.
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because every now and then, I guess I do a similar thing where I either just open a new note in Evernote or just a blank page in my notebook or whatever, and kind of just start jotting down in terms of, all right, for this website, I want to do this. For this client, I want to do that. For that website, I want to do this. And honestly, like half the time, I don't do half of the things, but just kind of putting down those ideas on paper and getting them out of your head and organized a bit kind of helps you move forward. And
I mean, I think the whole point here is also not only, yeah, like it gets it out of your head, but at the same time, just setting aside time to think about this stuff keeps your head on this thing, or keeps your mind on this thing. And if you want to, you know, like stick with it, then your mind should be, some of your mind should be at least dedicated to sticking with a side hustle, which is what I think this and all the other stuff that we're going to talk about today allows you to maintain your mindset, because, you know, you got to dedicate some of your time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's interesting, because actually my next one is kind of writing an agenda for the day or the to-do list for the day every evening, essentially before the actual day. Okay.
Did I not in the morning?
I prefer to do it in the evening because I think the things from that day are still kind of fresh in my head. Okay. And also having the list already done in the morning kind of eliminates one step in terms of getting up and running in the next day. So I don't do this every day, but I try to do it every day. And again, it's half about getting organized for the next day and prepared. It's half about kind of just clearing your head and just getting everything that can be gotten out of it so that you're ready for the next day. Mm-hmm. And typically just means I look at my calendar and I jot down the meetings from my computer calendar into my paper calendar, write down any to-dos that I want to do. And I also try to, I guess you could call it journaling, just write what I did during the day. Mm-hmm. I started that a number of times in the past, and I always ended after a few weeks. My most recent journaling spell has been going on since September 1st, and I think I've been writing things down almost every day, except for last week when I was traveling.
Do you review what you write, or you just write for the day?
I write it down, and then I have a notebook in Evernote. Mm-hmm. It's like journal. So then I just click around, and every now and then I read through those things. And sometimes I paste a picture in so that it's a bit more visual and I remember the day more. And I also give every day a title. So I have like a whatever. September 7th was a long day. September 8th was please Mr. Postman, because I saw this lady in front of a convenience store asking a postman if she has to take an envelope to the post office, and the guy's like, oh, I will take it. Mm-hmm. And
so these are just random titles kind of related to the day.
It's kind of like the most memorable thing of the day. September 4th is Lost in Marzen, which is the bookstore that we both like.
Yeah.
And again, this is just like one thing I realized is time goes by so fast, and it's like you don't even realize all the things that you've done because you're kind of going after the next thing. So I guess this is more, rather than kind of forward looking, it's more backward looking, where it's so that I can go back, scroll for these and kind of be like, oh, I've done these five cool things over the last month. I also do a similar thing in Notion, where I kind of have highlights for the month. So it's like columns with the month, and there's cards and photos for different highlights of the month. Again, just so that I can go back and kind of remember what I did. Because I think those things can be motivating. And again, I think they're important for your mindset, because luckily I rarely feel like I'm kind of struggling with things. Mm-hmm. But every now and then when you do, it's nice to look back at all the good things and kind of get reminded that whatever problem you're trying to solve might be difficult, but there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel.
I do so. I guess like with my quiet time, I do. Yeah, I also do a bit of journaling, just maybe like not at the same frequency as you, but definitely once a week or twice a week.
Yeah, I think that's good. And again, I started daily over the last few weeks, but I'm not sure how long it will last on a daily basis. But yeah, I think it's always nice to put out some thoughts on the paper or on the screen, whether it's weekly or daily or monthly.
Agreed. All right. On my side, one thing that helps is looking at competition or competitor blogs who have similar websites as me or on similar topics, mostly for inspiration and seeing what they're doing better. And I think that kind of riles me up in a good way.
Yeah.
Because it makes me want to beat them. You know, I think that definitely helps. So it always helps to inject some motivation into whatever you're doing. Otherwise, if you're just doing it by yourself, which is fine and all, but it may not be enough to push you. I think I'm a very competitive person. Well, I think I've been suppressing my competitive side, but there's definitely a fiery competitive spirit in me. And yeah. I think it always helps with keeping my mindset on track and just like, more so than that, just the competition just makes things exciting and makes you much more excited to do your side hustle.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a great one. I didn't put it on my list, but I think it's same for me. It's like when I see some other side in the same niche or whatever as I am, it always kind of motivates me to, especially when I know the site is better or the site gets more visitors or whatever. It's kind of aspirational, I guess you could say. And yeah. I think competition is a double-edged sword because some people look at competition and go like, oh, there's competition in this space, so I'm not going to do it. But it sounds like both you and I are more like, oh, there's competition, let's crush it if possible. Or let's at least try.
Right. I mean, like, I would still enter something. When I enter something for the first time, I'm not really thinking about competition because I don't know if that matters or if it should matter. I don't know. I'm no market analyst. I don't know if it should matter as to like who's competing right now. I think maybe it matters later once you start doing a thing and you want outside inspiration. That's when it kind of starts mattering because everyone kind of looks at everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's when it matters, I guess, from the mindset point of view. Because I think it also, in the beginning, it kind of matters in terms of just validating your idea and seeing somebody successful with what you're trying to do. It's just means there's money in it.
So what about you?
Yeah, so I think it's similar to competition, but it's learning about other people's results. So I think some of the things that I enjoy a lot is just reading other people's income reports. There's like this blog called yes.com and fatstacksblog.com, I believe is the URL, that just post their blogging income every month. And it's just motivating. And I think the key is not to look at people that kind of write a blog about blogging and then post an income report about how much they made with their blog about blogging, telling you this is how much you can make with blogging. But more looking at people that do kind of similar things, so that have a portfolio of sites and that are growing them and investing in content and that kind of blog about their income for non-blogging about blogging related blogs. Mm-hmm. This might be getting hard to follow.
I lost you at blogging.
Exactly. No, so I think choosing the right ones to look at is important, because if you choose the wrong ones, then it can get really hard. Like, you see all these ads on YouTube and all these videos where people are like, oh, hey, work 5 hours and make $100,000. So like, you have to be really careful about selecting which income reports to kind of follow. But I think once you find your couple of people that are kind of doing a similar thing and kind of share the same philosophy as you do in terms of their approach to the business, I think it can be really motivating seeing somebody that's 10 steps ahead of you, 100 steps ahead of you, 5 miles ahead of you, and kind of trying to see what your course is to get to where they are or further.
Okay. It's something I don't do, I guess, because in my space, people don't post up reports. I think those reports are much more common in people that are promoting the how to blog about blogging or how to start your own side hustle, where they're trying to sell you on the idea of creating a website or creating a side hustle.
Yeah, so that's the type of blogs where you usually find them. And that's why I'm saying you have to be kind of careful, because there's good people and there's bad people in this space.
Yeah. All right. On my end, I guess what helps me maintain my mindset is reading marketing books and copywriting books. Because a lot of time when I'm reading, like, for example, right now I'm reading another book on copywriting. I probably don't have to, and I probably shouldn't be. But, I like you said, repetition is key, I think. And there's always something, some little tidbit eventually that you pick up that you might have missed down the road, or I might have missed down the road. It might give you a new kind of way of looking at things. But the point is, like, they'll, you know, provide headlines or examples or layouts of ads and whatnot and copy structure. And sometimes you're like, oh, I could apply that to my blog, or like, I should try a blog article like this that focuses on this angle or that angle. So I think that's the fun part about reading marketing books, is that you can, at least, I can. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. In my case, I can see what they put out and try and connect it with what I'm doing and come up with ideas. Like, maybe I should try this kind of article. Maybe I should try this kind of image. Maybe I should try this kind of ad or on my sidebar. So it always gives me some kind of idea, you know, something new to try out. And on that note, I think reading other books in general also helps with mindset. Like, you know, we're reading the Sam Walton book, you know, reading books about entrepreneurs, I guess, kind of helps. I think philosophy books, like, you know, the Tao of Pooh, for example, kind of like impact the way I approach my work style nowadays. So yeah, I think reading is a big thing for mindset.
Yeah, I think so. And as we kind of mentioned in the beginning, in my first point. It's like propaganda. You could almost say that you become what you read and what you watch and what you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely agree with this being really important. And I think this is one of the more kind of general things that did apply to you, that apply to me, that apply to many people probably. If you just read about something, if you just get immersed in the subject in one way or another, you'll kind of make progress.
You'll eventually make progress. So
if you put those things in action, of course.
Yeah. I mean, like the I think people work on different paces. Someone might be a fast action taker. Someone else might take action a year or two late, 3 years later. Really depends on you, your pace and where you're comfortable at. Obviously, all of us want to work at a faster pace than we are now. But at times, that could also be too much to ask. So, like, I don't know. I don't blame people for not taking action, knowing myself that I don't take action on some things that I should be. So, because everyone kind of works at their pace or they need a good kick to get them going. So what's next on your list?
Yeah, so next thing is pretty new. As you know, I think on August 10th or something, in the beginning of August, I joined the local gym because it has a pool, and I've been planning to start swimming for quite a while, and I finally did so a month and a half ago. And I've been really enjoying it. And of course, there's the benefit of you get the exercise and you start losing weight if you don't compensate for all the exercise with excess snacks and so on.
Snacks are good, though.
Yeah, but I also realized that it's... And I think we might have been talking about this on this podcast, perhaps in the last episode even. But like when I'm in the pool, it's the only time where there's no notifications, no distractions, no screen, nothing. It's just you, the water. And like it's about kind of clearing your head. And also the other thing is it kind of helps me break my day in half, essentially, depending on what time I go for a swim.
It's something we don't have. For all those that are working from home, because work starts home and work ends at home, so there's no halves.
Yeah. So, I just find it as a really good habit for kind of one, clearing my head. Two, it's healthy. And three, again, it's like before I go for the swim, I know that I want to go swim at, let's say, 1 p.m. because until 1 p.m. there's an aqua dance club, and like the lesson takes up like 3 out of the 4 lanes, so there's no place to swim, essentially. So I know that I want to go at 1 p.m., let's say, which also means that I have to get done whatever I need to get done by 1 p.m., which kind of sets a nice deadline that's half artificial because I can just move the pool to different time. But also that's pretty solid because I don't want to move the pool to different time. And then it also still leaves me with half the day after I get back from pool to get more things done. So I find it to be... pretty good in terms of getting me motivated both to work but also to exercise.
Oh, definitely nice deadlines. Yeah, I agree with that. Having something that's unrelated can inadvertently boost your productivity and motivation for in other areas that you have to now limit because of said thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's people that say that you should set artificial deadlines and like be like, oh, I have to get this done by whatever date and whatever time. Honestly, I don't think those work, or at least they don't work for me. It's like I'm smart enough to know that the deadline that I set for myself is artificial.
Yeah,
so like it's pretty useless. But with this swimming thing, it's again, I think it's especially because there's these classes at certain times, and I know that I want to go every day, and I also want to avoid those times when there's classes because they take up a good chunk of the pool.
Yeah,
and it gets crowded. So I kind of know that whatever, there's this 2-hour window between classes that I want to go during, which kind of makes it less artificial of a deadline than it would be if I could go anytime.
All right, sounds good.
So what's your next one?
Next up, this is our common tactic that we do every month: set goals and projects for the side hustle. Goals meaning like how much, you know, articles or what do I want to do with the website this month. Usually I maintain the same amount, but then there's always like other one-off or interesting type of side projects that are not side project, they're still related to the side hustle, to try out. Like, for example, in my case I've been trying to create a email lead magnet and setting up my email list and whatnot, which I finished back in August. There was the whole trying to design a t-shirt and get, you know, designers to come up with some designs and putting it up on the storefront, seeing if that works. So I guess these things also kind of keep my mind anchored or centered around keeping on going, trying new stuff, especially trying like fun stuff every now and then. Again, the t-shirt stuff was interesting because, you know, it's not often that I request designs from random designers, which is a really tough project, I could say.
Yeah.
Because you're asking someone else to come up with an idea that you yourself don't exactly have visualized. So they're going to come up with their own interpretation based on what you provide, whatever vague instructions I provide them. So either way, I mean, still, I think these little projects, whether they work or not, they're good ways to keep at it and keep thinking of new stuff and keep sticking with your side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the goals are good, and I think as we discussed here a number of times, I'm a fan of goals too. But I personally like kind of input goals, where it's like I'm going to publish this many articles or I'm going to do this many things, which I think is what you're pretty much describing. Yeah. Compared to like output goals, where it's like, oh, I'm going to make $100,000 next year or something. Where
I don't do output goals. Output goals are nice to have goals. Those are outside of my control.
Yeah, I think it's good to have some kind of milestones that you want to hit, but getting too fixated on them is probably not good, because again, you can do the same work and get different results because of luck, and people don't like to believe there is luck, but there is a lot of luck involved in a lot of the things that you do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's exactly what I meant. Just output goals, or no, input goals. Just putting out X amount of work consistently, and of course, I do have my own. As you say, output goals, right?
Yeah.
I do have like, you know, ideal numbers that I want to hit, but these are not the numbers that I, you know, worry or stress over. It's like, if I'll get there at some point, and if I don't get there, well, at least I didn't fail and die trying.
Exactly.
I'm not going to ruin my life over it, I think. How about you?
All right. Yeah. So I guess my next one would be, putting non-work important things first. And, what I mean by that is, essentially, I guess we all have things that we have to do for work, to make money, to make living, and so on. And then we have things that we want to do just because we enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm fortunate that my schedule is fairly flexible and that essentially I can afford to do this in many cases. Not always, but in a lot of cases where, whatever, I want to go to the airport and see some aircraft, or I want to go to the pool. In the middle of the day,
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to put those things first over whatever I need to write this article. Because again, I also know that if I try to set a goal of writing an article or doing this or doing that that's work related, and there was like a really rare aircraft or something that I wanted to take photo of, or it was really sunny and I wanted to go to the airport, I know I wouldn't be as productive because I'd be thinking about what I could have been doing at the airport half the time anyways.
Okay.
So I guess one of my rules is, to the maximum extent possible, just put those non-work important fun things first. And that kind of motivates me to, again, it's one, it's artificial deadline, because if I want to go to the airport at 2 p.m., I know I have to get done whatever I need to get done by 2 p.m. But it's also, it also kind of helps me be more productive, because I know that if I didn't go to the airport, I'd be thinking about going to the airport. Or if I didn't take a trip, I would be thinking about taking that trip. And I just wouldn't be fully present in terms of what I would need to be doing in terms of work.
Yeah. So you scratch your own itch.
Yeah. So why not put those things first and let the work follow it?
Yeah.
It's almost like I guess if you think about it, most people kind of organize their life around their work. So you go to work from whatever 9 to 6:30. Everything you want to do kind of personally, you do either before that or you do after that. Whereas I try to just intertwine them in a way that, where it's nothing rigid, but it's more like if something needs to be done that's non-work related, it just gets done wherever and whenever it needs to get done.
Yeah.
And also vice versa, of course. Like if there's an important meeting or something, then sure, that's important and that's got to get scheduled. But for things that are not necessarily calendar-based, I guess, I think it's important to put non-work things first.
It might be hard for someone with a full-time job because, their schedule is revolving around their work hours, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. As I mentioned, I'm lucky that my schedule is fairly flexible, and this wouldn't work for everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess even if you have a full-time job and like maybe you get home at 6 instead of 8 and then do whatever you want and then get back to work at 10 rather than working until 8. I think there's always some flexibility that can be worked with, but definitely much more limited than if you're doing something as a freelancer or if you're running your business or whatever.
Yeah, if you have the ability to do so, you should do it. On my side, I like to keep things simple. Work is work, and then afterwards I can worry about the rest. I guess that just comes with the territory. If you have the kind of lifestyle and setup where you can go and hit the pool for 2 hours, then you should. With a full-time job, like it's a different kind of territory, and I don't mind it. I also like to keep things separate. I don't know, because like this is one thing I've noticed. Like for example, I had a really fun meeting. Work related meeting, but it was fun, right?
Yeah.
And then coming back, then I have to come back home to continue, like, because you know, working from home, I have to come back home and then resume work stuff, and it's a bit harder because like now my mind is it's all hopped up and excited. But I have to get back into work mode, and getting back into work mode is hard because, you know, you're like, shifting mental gears, in my opinion, is kind of hard. It's important that you learn how to do so. But, you know, once I prefer best to operate in like, this is work mode, work is work. And then later, let me go have fun, just to keep things simple for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely a way to do things. I think that's how most people do their things.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not a bad way. It's not a wrong way. Just a way.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, for me, I like to keep things separate. It helps me deal with my day better. Otherwise, I'll be all hopped up and excited, but then I have to work. And so like, I have to suppress the excitement. So I'd rather keep things separate like that.
Yeah. All right. So what's our next one?
All right, so next one is, talking to people who do similar things is good for your mindset. So having these podcasts, for example, Keishi, is good for my mindset. Because we're talking, again, setting goals, talking about stuff, then we go do stuff, and stuff happens. To put it in very simple terms.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. And it almost comes back to like what we were talking about in terms of reading, watching, listening. Talking about things is not too different from that. Other than it's perhaps a bit more engaging and more effective at doing that, and yeah, and helping you be in the right mindset. And as you said, I think this podcast is good in terms of both setting the goals, but also just talking about the topic in general. And again, just kind of making sure that side hustles and blogs and whatever is on the top of our mind.
Yeah.
For the rest of the week after we record this.
Yeah, because you know, once the end of the month approaches, what do you think I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about, I got to hit these goals that I set in the last month's episode. So it definitely works.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you've been much better at keeping up with the goals that we set here than I have. But I think for myself too, even if I don't hit the goals, I probably do more than I would have done if we didn't have this.
Yeah, well, since this is not the goal episode, I'm not going to come down on you hard for not hitting the goals. But like, I guess that's the point. Is the point is like, it gets you doing more than you would have done in the first place, and that's probably a good thing.
Exactly. I mean, just the fact that as the end of the month approaches, even if I don't do about it as much as you would, or even if I don't go out of my way as much as you would in terms of hitting the goal, so still just the fact that it pops out in my mind and I try to put in that one extra step to get closer to it. Yeah. I think it's important.
Then I think you have the right mindset for it.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. All right. What's next on your list?
Yeah, so I guess the next one is in a way related to the previous one of putting non-work important things first, but can also be work related, and that's always have something to look forward to.
Mm.
So again, it's like if you go into the mountains and you go hiking, then part of the reason you can hike and walk for hours and hours is because, you know, after you get back, you get to eat a nice dinner and you get to go into hot spring or whatever and like kind of relax. And I think, yeah, it's the same with work, where like, you know, you have to work and you know you have to do things. But if you know that, well, I guess the trip to the mountains over the weekend is one example. Is like, I know that I work 5 more days and then I get to go out and do some hiking and go into the nature for a few days. It's a nice motivation to get you there. Right, so it can be trip, it can be I don't know, going to baseball game, I guess for some people, or even as simple, I guess, as for most people, it's getting through the day so that they can get home and watch Netflix. It's like,
or play Call of Duty Mobile,
or play games. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do, but then always make sure you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, because like that's the thing, kind of with hitting these goals. Hitting a side hustle goal is cool and all, but it's just the work side of things, and you got to have other non-work related things to look forward to that will make you speed up with your side hustle stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
For example, in my case, I have like other unrelated goals and things that I'm looking forward to that I'm setting up. Like I registered for the Japanese language proficiency test.
Oh, nice.
Towards the end of December. Again, it's probably not one of these things that fall on the enjoyable category. But it's a different thing, you know, kind of unrelated to my side hustle, but it's an outside pressure that I have to focus on as well. So I think should help out a bit. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I think this kind of works on all sort of time scales, right? Because whatever, on the large time scale, I look forward to going to Slovakia for Christmas. On like smaller time scale, I look forward to whatever, going to the airport the next time it's sunny during the day. Mm. And on like even a smaller scale, it's like the almost everyday swim is like a thing to look forward to in the morning. And yeah, then whatever, getting to eat the dinner is something to look forward to in the afternoon work session. So I think always having something good at the end of the day or at the end of the week or at the end of the month is nice for maintaining the momentum, because again, it's like we have to work, but at the same time you can't just work.
Yeah, I have my gym that I look forward to.
Gym's hard work.
Gym, no, it's gym is the opposite of hard work. Gym's much less mental work. Gym is, I don't know, gym is I think it requires some kind of personality to like it, and I happen to be that personality, but I don't see it as work.
That's great. Yeah, I guess it's similar to my swims. It's like I kind of really enjoy them, even though it's physical activity and you get tired to an extent. But
yeah, I think it's definitely the same thing.
Yeah, it's I guess it's different kind of tired than being tired after staring into the computer screen for a day.
It's a good kind of tired, because like your body's involved now, because your body has not been involved.
Yeah,
when you've been staring at the computer for like the past 8 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so I think you have one more on your list.
So I guess in the case of my language blog, what helps me maintain my mindset is I'm actually doing what I blog about or what I write about for the most part, learn language. So it kind of works. I don't know how to explain it. It kind of works both ways. It works for as a hobby and it works as a side hustle, or it just works as a thing to do, because I never initially looked at it as a thing to do for side hustles, but it's something that I got to do while I live in Japan. Otherwise, what's the point of me living in Japan if I don't speak Japanese, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, again, because my mind is on languages and because I have a blog about languages, it kind of mixes well together. You know, if I'm learning something or if I come across something, I'd be like, maybe I could do a post about that. And then it's going to translate into content for my website, and which may or may not translate into revenue. Who knows? But it's just it keeps the side hustle at the top of mind as well. And this is actually something I've been thinking about in the past. You know, for example, if you consider someone like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? You know, obviously a lot of people know him for his physique,
yeah,
and his gym, and him being like a gym addict in a way, in a good way. But if you think about it, his life and career is kind of designed and revolves around fitness, whether it was football in his earlier life, wrestling with the WWE, WWF.
Yeah.
And now like being an actor, like every single one of these things requires physique. So it would be very hard for a person who, for example, does an office job from like 9 to 6 and wants to achieve a Dwayne The Rock Johnson physique. You know, it would be very, 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 not probably not impossible, but very hard for them to replicate what he's done. Yeah. Or at least in their own way, unless they somehow make their life somehow about that. And I think making it part of your job is probably the easiest things to do, or make it a side hustle, you know? So that's why I think people have an advantage in that sense, because it's part of their job. So they got to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess the point where I was going with this was like, you know, whatever you kind of want to achieve, it really would help if it was also your side hustle and not, and like, and also something unrelated to your side hustle. Like, again, with the language, why do I need it? Because I live in the country, but also, you know, I have a side hustle about it. So it kind of works in two ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting, because I think it's, in a way, it's kind of similar to my last point, which is work on what I want to work on. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back to, like, if you enjoy your work, then I think that's a motivator in itself, and that kind of helps your mindset and helps getting things done.
Yeah.
It's like, and again, I think this is one of those things where we're lucky to be working on things that we, to most extent, enjoy. At least for me, there's very few things that I do that I dread doing.
editing.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that I don't do them, or that I don't procrastinate on certain things. But overall, I just enjoy most of the things that I do, whether it's client work or whether it's related to blogging or other things that I do. And again, I think that in itself is perhaps the most important thing. Even is if you enjoy what you're doing, then you're going to want to do more of it. Mm. And if you do more of it, you're going to.
Here's an idea. Maybe you should start a blog about swimming, and I should start a blog about gym.
Yeah, not sure about swimming, but I'm pretty sure gym and fitness is a very competitive space.
Yeah, that's This is the one and only part where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to deal with the competition. It's too much already.
Yeah. And I also think it's nice to have something where you're not trying to turn that thing into a business or something. It's like, you don't want to be in the gym, or I don't want to be in the pool thinking every time I take a breath, thinking, oh, how am I going to turn this into an article or into a YouTube video or something?
Yeah.
It's like, it's nice to have things that are purely kind of for enjoyment.
I don't disagree with that. Some things should be kept sacred.
Exactly. It's like that book that I read recently, What Money Can't Buy. It's like, there are certain things that shouldn't be governed by market norms.
Like health?
Yeah, like health, yeah. To some extent, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that was my last one. I think we covered them all. Again, these are kind of specific to you, specific to me. That's it. I think there's quite a few that other people can try as well, or that already are using. I think immersing yourself in a topic and reading books, like you were mentioning, quiet time and brainstorming ideas and kind of writing your agenda for the next day, the day before, journaling and so on, that we both mentioned are nice too. Swimming, going to the gym, just being offline in general is a great one. And yeah, I think always having something to look forward to is an important one too. And again, yeah. It's something that you can do on various scales. So like if you can afford it both financially and time-wise to go on vacation every other week or something, then that's great. If it means looking forward to watching your favorite series on Netflix in the evening after your work, I think that's great too. But always having something to look forward to. And I think you were mentioning that you need to get better at kind of scheduling things and setting goals that are more fun oriented. Like when I mentioned that one of my goals is enjoying Hakuba.
Yeah.
Right. So,
also not getting side effects from your next shot.
Yeah. Which is coming up in 2 days. God.
Good luck with that. But yeah, I should set more fun stuff too.
Yeah. And I think that's what it kind of comes back to, is like, again, I think we talk about this a number of times here, but at the end of the day, whether it's your work or whether it's your side hustle or your business or whatever, kind of meant to make you money, at the end of the day, just a tool that should help you live an enjoyable life, I think. So if there wasn't something to look forward to it at almost all times, then it's like doing things without really having any purpose, I think.
Yeah. I do have one more non-side hustle mindset, non-side hustle related mindset practice that I have been doing for like the past few years that I think really had a positive impact on me.
Bring it on.
All right. I mean, this is going to sound as wishy-washy as it does, but I forget where I read it. It was either in a book or was in some sort of article, but it's just a simple gratitude run, meaning every day when I wake up, when I go into the shower, because the shower is the only place I'm truly awake. Because before going into the shower and after getting out of the shower, you know, I slump back out into my, I slump into like my automated mode. But in the shower, I'm like wide awake. And that's where I go through, you know, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this person, grateful for that person, grateful, like all the things, all the people I'm grateful for. So, you know, obviously I include my mom, my grandparents, my sister, my friends that I have and whatnot, my bosses, I don't know, like doctors, accountants, people that help me and everything, you know, like, so everything that I could think of, I list it. But more than that, I also include people that I used to did not like, or challenges that or grudges, or, you know, people that had grudges, unimportant grudges, you know, BS friend stuff, drama that happened many years back that maybe I still felt salty about.
Yeah.
I would put that in. Also, I would put in current challenges. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. And, you know, the wonderful thing about it is that I don't know how much it works on the positive side of things, but it definitely allowed me to resolve and quiet my mind about the other things that, you know, I was maybe upset or angry about in the past, to the point where I don't think about it anymore, because I've thanked that situation. And I don't think this is something that happens overnight or in a week, but I think it somehow helps. Like, it definitely has just helped quiet my mind. That way, when it's time to go to work, I'm not worried about what someone said or did to me, like, you know, years ago, or, you know, like, or a friendship that went away. You know, like, I don't feel bitter about that anymore. If anything, I just thank that it happened. And I think this has helped. I don't think too many people talk about this, but I think this has helped my mind quiet down and deal with it and accept it and be grateful for it, even if it was a negative outcome.
That's interesting. So do you say it out loud, or do you kind of think it to yourself, or?
I say it out loud. I don't know, saying it out loud helps. I don't know if there's a difference between thinking it or saying it, but at least saying is like you're actually putting out the effort to say it. Thinking, maybe I worry I would get lazy with my thinking because, you know, it's inside your head.
Yeah.
So I verbalize it.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, it's funny because in a way it sounds like you became a self-help guru kind of thing. But yeah, I can really see that working, especially if you say it out loud, because again, like thinking things, we always, all the time we think about something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think saying those things out loud sounds,
really
good. I think there's also people that have a gratitude journal where they actually write these things down,
yeah,
which I guess might be other way to.
I think what it does is it reframes what you once saw as painful or hurtful to you, and because you're thanking it instead, it reframes it into something positive and a lesson. And at that point, you know, it's hard to dwell on it and still be upset about it. You know, like my example is, I don't know, but like several years ago or something, I was, you know, I had a big friend group, and then I had a physiotherapy appointment that I realized it was on the same day as the guy's birthday. And in my mind, I already knew, like, you know, the guy is known to be a bit of a guilt tripper.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to back out or something, he's going to just go on a tirade or tirade, however that's pronounced. Just to, like, you know, tell you his mind. And, you know, like, so I realized, like, the day before, like, oh, crap. 2 days before, I realized, oh, crap. And, like, the first thing in my mind was just imagining how he would go off. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is going to suck. And, of course, you know, I waited till the last possible day. And, of course, that happened. And, you know, like, and we're not friends anymore. So, like, that was a whole circle fell apart type of thing. You know, I apologized for it, but I always felt a little bit bitter about it. Actually, for like a few years, I felt bitter about it. And then that's where I came across the gratitude thing. And nowadays, I don't really care. It's whatever it was a lesson. And I'm thankful for it. And I used to think about it a lot. Nowadays, I don't really think about it at all, because you've thanked that person so many times.
Yeah.
You've thanked that situation so many times that you just have nothing bad to say anymore. So that's an example of my non-side hustle mindset. But I think it helps the side hustle mindset, because kind of the less things you have to think about, the better. And the less things that, you know, you're worried or have a grudge about or bitter about, the better. And I think this kind of helped me quell and relieve whatever I was feeling years back.
Yeah. Maybe you can start thanking the Google algorithm or something.
Nah, it hasn't given me that much of a problem just yet.
It paid off your student loans.
That's true. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I wonder. Yeah, I should try adding that. I can't imagine myself saying those things out loud in shower, but
why not?
I don't know. But maybe putting it down on paper in my journal or something is a good start.
Are you afraid to say these things out loud?
No, but I don't know. I guess I just don't talk out loud. I guess I don't talk out loud into the emptiness.
I don't think it has anything to do with talking to the universe. As someone listening would be like, yeah, you're totally talking to the universe. I don't think that's the case. Just the case is like it's a physical practice, you know?
Yeah.
You could probably do it in your head, but because there's no physical practice, I don't know if it's as effective. I'm not a psychologist that knows the brain-body-mind connection. But I think if it's physical, then it's a good practice, because kind of, you know, the physical impacts the mental. So again, like, yeah. I said earlier, I wouldn't trust if I did it in my mind. Maybe I started doing shortcuts, but, and that's the part where I don't want to you know, screw up on, because it'd be very easy to just like do it really quickly, and it's not the point to do it really quickly. The point is to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think saying it out loud is good, or writing it down is probably good too.
Yeah, because writing, you're very thoughtful about when you're writing. Yeah. So writing probably works too.
Exactly.
All right. Any more mindsets for the day?
No, I think we've covered them all and then some.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, episode 65 with Keishi Nyeri. Keishi, what does 65 mean?
You caught me off guard here. Let me ask you a question. What does 65 mean?
Yeah, that's what I asked.
I know. I don't have the answer. Do you?
Oh, well, according to... Let me say this slowly so I can type at the same time. 65 is...
Common speed limit on expressways in many U.S. states.
Yeah, I think that's the only interesting one here. The traditional age of retirement in the UK, Germany, United States, Canada, and several other countries. So if you want to retire with extra income, be sure to start your own side hustle and listen to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast. Also, check out the show notes. Why? Because if you do want to start your own website, you can check out Bluehost. We have a link there in the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E65, where you can sign up, buy a .com, buy a website, and put your project out into the world. And now you have your side hustle going. So visit the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E65. This has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast with Keishin Yuri.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.